It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with retiring Democratic State Representative Sandy Pope of Mount Horeb. Earlier this year, she announced she would not run for re-election, capping 20 years in the Assembly, representing Southwest Dane County as well as parts of Greene and Iowa counties. Some roadmap here for discussion. She co-sponsored a bill last year that would have repealed Wisconsin's 1849 abortion ban. We get reaction with the fall of Roe. Also, paid family leave legislation that she supported got some recent traction in a GOP primary debate. Join in along the way, 800-642-1234. Representative Sandy Pope, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Well, let's start with family medical leave. You and your Democratic colleagues proposed creating an employee-funded statewide insurance program. State residents could have weekly paycheck deductions to go into this fund to pay for family medical leave. Why did you co-sponsor this legislation?
Well, I have done it a number of times before, along with State Senator Janice Ringhand, because it's the right thing to do. I think it's the moral obligation of the United States of America to recognize that families need to be protected, nurtured, and this bill would do that. I think the public would be astonished if they could see where the United States stands in the lineup of industrialized nations who provide this insurance or this program. We are way down at the bottom. I mean, dead last, in that we provide nothing. This country provides nothing.
Under Wisconsin law, an employee is entitled to take up to 2 weeks a year to care for a parent, a child, a spouse with a serious health condition. Federal law allows up to 12 weeks. What needs to happen here in Wisconsin?
Okay, well, the federal law allows it to happen, but allows it to happen as unpaid. Mm-hmm. And most of the people who need this cannot give up that income. So then they're sitting there faced with, well, do I recover after having a baby? Do I bond with my child? Do I take care of my dying, aging parent or my very sick, hospitalized spouse or child? Or do I continue to have an income which we are counting on every week? So that's really not a healthy decision at all. And for many people, it's no decision. They have to keep their jobs. So the difference between paid leave and allowing unpaid leave is huge difference, huge difference. Mm.
Representative Pope, you know, under this legislation, neither the state nor employers would have to pay for this program, this worker-funded trust fund. Why should the burden fall completely on workers for such a benefit?
Well, I don't know that it should, but we have to start someplace. And this seems to be the most palatable way to introduce it. Employers aren't going to be paying into it, and the state taxpayer isn't going to be paying into it. The only people paying in are the ones who stand to benefit from it. And very much like unemployment insurance, it's a deduction from your paycheck based on gross earnings and numbers of hours worked, that sort of thing. And we can be extremely flexible in how we implement this because it's as a state law. If I could get my Republican colleagues who are the majority party to give it a hearing, that would be very helpful because we could certainly iron out the details and make this more palatable for them if that's the problem. But we can't get a hearing for this bill.
At a recent debate, several Republican candidates for governor have supported paid family leave, but the details are a little sketchy as to what exactly that they are supporting there. But are you encouraged by this?
A very little bit. It's easy to say those words. It's a whole nother thing to actually advocate for that sort of legislation. Or sign the bill if it should ever make it to your desk as governor. So words don't mean much. I would much rather hear from candidates running for the state legislature to say they would support this bill. And I have yet to get a Republican to sign on to this bill as a co-sponsor, or I've had one hearing on this bill in my entire time. So
why do you think that is?
Boy, I wish I could understand that on many levels, because they don't want to pass the bill. Simply, if they wanted this bill to pass, if they actually supported it, it would have a hearing, it would come before us, and we could debate it and vote on it. But something tells me they just don't want it.
Talking with Representative Sandy Pope, a Democrat from Mount Horeb, retiring after 20 years in the state assembly, you can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Let's move on to abortion. Wisconsin Republican senators, they gaveled in, gaveled out in 14 seconds last month after Governor Evers had called a special session to repeal the 1849 abortion ban. You know, the Republican candidates for governor support the abortion ban. And I'm just wondering what should be done as next steps.
Well, I can say at this point, I won't be there to do that. I'm just at wit's end about this. I don't understand how this could have happened in America. Women should be appalled. Women are appalled. People who support women, care about women. It's just astonishing to me that we would turn around and go that far backwards in terms of women's health care, women's choices, autonomy, all of their own bodies. Women are going to have to stand up and have their voices heard. And you're going to hear me say this more than once today. All of this can change. And it can change from the ballot box when people stop voting for those who support these kinds of laws. That's when it will change. Those of us who are in the legislature, in the minority, we can't make this change. The change has to come from the voters who are going to stop voting for people who don't actually represent their values.
Is your caucus, albeit in the minority, are you discussing next steps with your colleagues? And what are those conversations like?
Well, they're very fiery. They're very, we are pretty much at one over this issue. And right now, because the legislature is not in session, we aren't actually meeting in caucus. But those folks out on the campaign trail are certainly hearing from the constituents. We hear from them every day. It's a very, very huge issue here in Wisconsin. And I think November might reflect some of that.
Yeah. What do you see there? What impact might the fall of Roe have on people voting this November?
Well, if people stop and think about what do I want to happen in my state, in my country? And are the people who are there now providing those things to me, i.e. reasonable gun regulation, measures like background checks, things that the majority, the vast majority of the people want, are the people I'm voting for reflecting those values? And you simply have to recognize that they aren't here in Wisconsin, certainly. The abortion issue, it's more than abortion. It's women's health care. People have procedures that have nothing to do with an actual abortion as the public thinks of it. These are medical procedures that are necessary for reasons other than I don't want this baby. I mean, my goodness, people need to think more deeply than this. It's just people have to stop and think about who am I voting for and what are they going to deliver to me as a citizen.
Representative Sandy Pope, I want to pause here and go back to our first topic because Jessica from Sun Prairie called in, couldn't stay with us, but Jessica, on the topic of family medical leave, wants to know how people with disability benefits would be affected by paid leave legislation. Would they continue paying into the benefits or would they lose them?
Again, that kind of question will come with actually crafting a bill that is palatable to both sides. There's a great deal of flexibility. As we look across the United States, paid family medical leave is available in something like 13 states, and each one of them is a little bit different. So that could be built in if we wanted to, as could the numbers of employees and, you know, within a business structure, or how long you have worked at a particular business or entity as an employee in order to qualify. All of those sorts of things can be worked out any way we want them to.
Representative Sandy Pope, a Democrat from Mount Horeb, not running for re-election, capping 20 years in the state assembly, ranking member of the Assembly Committee on Education. Join in on the school funding formula. Join in on school safety, mental health, the needs of rural districts versus urban. 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show. Back in a minute with Representative Pope here on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Democratic Representative Sandy Pope, whose district includes Southwest Dane County, parts of Iowa and Greene counties. First elected to the Assembly in 2002 and was initially compelled to run for office on education issues. Join in on public school funding formula, mental health supports, issues connected to teachers and students. 800-642-1234. Representative Sandy Pope of Mount Horeb stays with us. Let's bring in another caller. Andy is with us from Appleton. Andy, hi, go ahead.
Pleasantries. I think Wisconsin's about a 65% population on polls is supporting abortion, a woman's right to choose her control of her own body in all cases. Is there any way we can just bypass the legislators altogether? Because I don't trust them at all. And just have a referendum so the state voters are heard?
Going directly to voters, Representative Pope.
Well, I guess that would have to start at the municipal level, wouldn't it? Or a citizen action. And that would seem reasonable to me, considering how stark this announcement has been of ending a woman's right to choose. But it's a possibility. It's certainly a possibility. I should think, I don't know, I thought Sandy Hook was going to be what triggered the end of assault weapons being provided to people who obviously don't need them. And I don't know what it's going to take in this case. It's just unfathomable to me that this has happened to the United States. In the 20 years I've served in the legislature, I would never have dreamed when I began that I would be ending with the United States looking like this. Kate, I did want to go back to a question that you asked me, and that was why I introduced the Family Medical Leave Insurance Program.
Mm-hmm.
When I was campaigning for this office, I recall meeting a woman at a picnic table at a local festival, and we were chatting, the two of us. And at that time, my husband was dying of pancreatic cancer, and we were sort of consoling each other. And she said that her husband was dying at home with a terminal illness. They had no family here. She actually went to Goodwill and bought a lot of men's belts, and she would belt him to the sofa during the day so he wouldn't fall off. She would go to work. She would come home at lunch, and she'd come home in the evening, and that was the only safe option she had for her husband, because she had to have her employer's insurance, provided medical insurance, to get through this. and she had to have her income. That is just unthinkable to me, and it broke my heart to hear that story. And I thought, we can do better. However, I have discovered in the interim that we won't do better. It's something that it's a moral issue to me. It's just a moral issue.
Thank you for sharing that story. I want to turn now to education, and you've mentioned firearms a couple times in this conversation. What are the greatest needs of Wisconsin schools right now as you see it?
Adequate support, and I'm talking about support in terms of funding. I'm talking about support in terms of providing teachers the autonomy that they need to do the craft that they have acquired, to exercise their knowledge of their students and the skills that they have as teachers. They need to have the legislature stop interfering. They need the one thing I guarantee you that they don't need is Speaker Robin Voss's notion that teachers should be armed. The last thing we need is more guns in schools. That is just an insane thought to me. But adequate funding, we have fallen so far behind in our funding mechanism for schools. And a big chunk of that problem is that the taxpayer dollars are now going to private voucher schools, and that money goes first, and what's left over once those vouchers are paid, that's what is divided up for our public schools. Public schools that are required by law to teach every single student who comes to the door, regardless of what condition they come in, what level of learning, what level of physical or mental handicap. And it's an unfair playing field for sure.
I
We
want to
need to
pause
better.
right there because Wisconsin school districts were allotted nearly $2.4 billion in one-time federal pandemic relief funds, have until September 2024 to spend it. And we've heard from Republicans in the legislature that just this should be extremely helpful in funding our public schools, that districts don't need that extra increase when you look at the amount of federal aid pouring in. What are your thoughts there?
My thoughts are that those legislators ought to go to a school one time and spend a couple weeks in school actually seeing what goes on. One-time money that was intended and used to address the pandemic is not putting more money in education. It is putting needed, necessary money into responding to a global pandemic. It's nonsense to think that we should be funding public education on federal dollars intended for pandemic relief and one-time money. Then what do you do? After that is spent, what's the answer? And it's can't we can't keep dumping on the property taxpayers. That mechanism is failing, and we can do better. We should do better. Again, check and see what kind of support you're getting from the people that you are electing to serve you in the legislature. They make that decision. That's where it's going wrong. It's not the teachers, it's not the superintendents, it's not the schools, it's the people who are deciding on the funding that goes and what has to be taught and how.
Talking with Representative Sandy Pope, Democratic member of the Assembly for the past 20 years. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Let's talk about voting then. We have seen the state Supreme Court stated that absentee ballot drop boxes are not allowed now under state law. You have supported automatic voter registration, barring voter intimidation, creating a voter bill of rights. How do you feel about, discontinuing the use of absentee ballot drop boxes and other measures?
In a word, I think it's asinine. This country should be making voting easier, not more difficult. If you want to call yourself a democracy, then act like it. Here in my village, there is a drop box built into the entryway of the municipal building, and it is taped shut. We cannot use it because the Republican legislature says that I have to take my ballot in and hand it to not somebody or put it in a tray or into a box. I have to give it to the clerk. And my father, who died in April, used to do absentee ballot. He would have to figure out how to get out of his bed. He was bedridden before he died, and walk that absentee ballot out to his own mailbox, or figure out how to get to his municipal building and give it to his clerk in order to vote. That's practically criminal in my mind, to shut people out of the ability to cast a ballot in this country. It's criminal. It's criminal.
We only have a few seconds left, but we've seen the ongoing conspiracy theories surrounding the 2020 election that have played a major role in the primary campaign as Republican candidates vie to take on Governor Evers in the fall. Rebecca Clayfish has said she'll eliminate the Wisconsin Elections Commission. What are your thoughts on the commission, and should it be removed?
Of course not. Absolutely, of course not. Again, I am appalled at what has happened to my democracy in the last 20 years, last 11 years. People need to think about these things. Is this really what you want? Do you want legislators deciding who the president is going to be based on what? This entire debacle is practically laughable, except it's scary. I fear for the survival of democracy in this country. And that may sound startling to some, but I honestly do. If some of these notions are allowed to become law, we are in a great deal of trouble. People need to take their vote more seriously, especially this year.
Representative Pope, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Representative Sandy Pope, a Mount Horeb Democrat, retiring this year after serving 20 years in the state assembly. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.